The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the beloved community. The aftermath of nonviolence is redemption. The aftermath of nonviolence is reconciliation. The aftermath of violence, however, is bitterness. This is the thing I'm concerned about. Let us fight passionately and unrelentingly for the goal of justice and freedom. Let's be sure that our hands are clean in the struggle. Let us never fight with falsehood and violence and hate and malice, but always fight with love, so that when the day comes that the walls of segregation have completely crumbled in Montgomery, that we will be able to live with people as our brothers and sisters.
This is the Beloved Community. My name is John Schuck. Beloved Community has resources for activism, and the Beloved Community is heard on the second Friday at 9 o'clock. And we have resources for activism today. A resource is in the studio with me. His name is David Fura. Dave Fura is the founder of the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project. Yeah, let's talk about 9/11 today. Dave, welcome.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. You're a computer engineer with degrees in electrical engineering.
Yeah, so I grew up in Michigan. I got my bachelor's from the University of Michigan. I worked for a while afterwards and went back to school. Was a student for quite a while, actually. Finished up with a doctorate from the University of Washington. And then spent quite a bit of time both as an employee, as a contractor, in a general area of computer architecture. And right now I work for a startup in Vancouver. And So, that's what it is.
My grandfather taught electrical engineering at the University of Washington.
Nice.
Well, a little bit before you were born. Yeah, I think he retired in the 50s when he was teaching it when electricity was new, I think. But you are, and you're with me today because you are the founder of the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project. What is that?
Yeah, so I'm not sure that founder is the right word. I was part of the team, though, that came out of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. We actually began our life, we're talking about 9/11 Truth Action Project now, as the action team is of AE 9/11 Truth.
And AE is Architects and Engineers for 9/11
that's
Truth.
That's correct, yeah. And at some point it was decided that it would be better for the action teams to separate from AE 9/11 Truth. They were having a hard time supporting us, and also, you know, making sure that we didn't say something stupid, because they really want to make sure that they stay clean and focus on the evidence, scientific evidence. And so they were very concerned about their image. So, and on the other hand, the people in the action teams were a little bit hindered by what we could say and what we couldn't say as part of AE. So the decision was made to split off the action teams into a new 501c3 nonprofit. And then we, so I was part of that team, and I was one of the key writers of the strategic plan for 9/11 TAP, we'll call it, Truth Action Project, and on the board for the first 2 years. And I decided at that time that about a year ago that 9/11 TAP had come far enough along to where I could focus more on the Oregon side. So now I'm focusing more on the local scene here in Oregon. And so I was the, I'm not the Northwest coordinator, but I am the Oregon coordinator of 9/11 TAP. That's right.
Dave Fura, my guest, tell me about, for you, 9/11. When did you first realize that the official account was suspicious?
Okay. This is probably, I believe it was in 2008. I was on a blog, I think an economics blog, kind of non-mainstream blog, and somebody posted a link to the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth website. And like a fool, I followed that link there, and I discovered on their website, at that time it was pretty sparse, but they had videos up, which I think was actually pretty effective. There they had their two-hour Blueprint for Truth video right there on the main page, so it was easy to find. I watched it, and I decided that there's something here. It's probably true, but I wasn't completely sold yet. It took a while. Really, I think what did it for me was when I saw the David Chandler video, NIST Finally Admits Freefall, that I really got convinced then And I think in large part because, first of all, the evidence of free fall is, I think, the most compelling of all. The symmetric,
Explain that for a little bit. Now, you're talking about the third tower that collapsed on, maybe people not, some people still don't even know that there was a third tower.
Actually, that's correct, yeah. So there was a third tower, the World Trade Center Building 7. It was across the street from the North Tower, a 47-story skyscraper. No airplane hit it, yet it came down in the manner of a perfect controlled demolition at 5:20 in the afternoon. And there's never, ever been a skyscraper, a steel-framed, fire-protected skyscraper that's come down from fire before or since 9/11. And there have been thousands of examples of fires in skyscrapers. So this is a very unusual event to have occurred. The U.S. government says that fire brought it down for the only time in history. So we're talking about things that are agreed to by all sides. We can go on and on about Building 7.
But go ahead and go to the free fall part. That's because that's what convinced you.
So free fall means that the top part of the building was literally falling through air. That's how fast it was coming down. And for eight stories, 105 feet. So the building had 82 support columns holding it up. So something other than the top part crushing the bottom part took out those columns, those external force, because if the top part had crushed its way down, it had to slow down. So free fall means that there was some external force like explosives, and the fact that it came down level roof line means that they were synchronized very precisely. And that's what, you know, controlled demolition companies get paid a lot of money to do, to make sure that happens. Fire has never done that before.
And that's what, when you saw those videos, when you started looking at that stuff, that's what convinced you as an engineer.
Yeah, that was partly it. That was a big part of it. But the other part that was necessary for me was that I saw at that time the NIST engineers in action. And they were trying to hide free fall in their draft report. Then in their meeting where they took questions, they denied free fall, said it was impossible for a fire-caused collapse to have free fall. And then later on in the final report, they admitted free fall without even talking about their contradiction. But watching the engineers was also key for me, because I could tell they were lying from their body language and also from what they were saying.
Mm. And you are a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth?
That's correct.
You signed the list.
Yeah,
All right. Speaking with Dave Fura, also a member of the Oregon Truth, 9/11 Truth Action Project, conspiracy theorist. When people call you a conspiracy theorist, Dave, what do you say?
I say, no, I'm an engineer, actually. But, that's kind of an interesting question, because I don't really have the best answer. But I did some experimentation one time. I do spend a lot of time talking to people. And I asked a guy to sign the petition one time. He said, but I'm not a conspiracy theorist. And I said, well, why not? I usually don't say that, but I said, hey, why not? And he said, well, you're just trying to get me to believe that Bush did it. I said, no, we're just trying to get an investigation. He goes, no, it's been investigated, a zillion times already, up and down, five different ways. And I go, name the investigations. And then it was like every time I asked a question, he dialed it down and got more receptive, and eventually took home a brochure and said he would read it very carefully. So I don't know what the right answer is. People say we should resist that term. It's psyop, but I just basically say I'm an engineer.
Yeah. Well, it certainly is a term that you throw out there so people don't have to have a conversation. Oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. I don't have to hear anything he has to say. And it protects us in some way from actually having to face uncomfortable truths or uncomfortable evidence.
Yeah, yeah. It's become a term. It really means that this is a person you don't need to even talk to, and you don't want to look at their evidence. That really is their only line of defense, because once a person does look at the evidence, they become a truther. So their only hope is to get people to not look at the evidence, and the way they do that, of course, is with that label.
Let's talk about you talked about Building 7 was one of the key players. What other holes in the plot? Of the official account, which was first of all, in a sentence, what's the official account, and what are some holes in that plot?
Okay, so we know that there were airplanes that struck the Twin Towers. As far as the Twin Towers go, they say that they don't say that everybody agrees that the jet fuel burned off in about 20 minutes, and those two buildings lasted like for an hour and almost 2 hours. So there was quite a bit of burning going on after the jet fuel was consumed. What they say happened is that you know, there was structural damage, there was heat damage, and at some point some of the horizontal members failed near the impact zone and came down and pulled the perimeter columns with them all the way down. Then it was a cascading collapse, and they based this on a computer model which they claim found that failure mode, but they only took it down to the initiation of failure, and they keep the model secret, so nobody who can learn about this from their discovery. For Building 7, they say that they discovered a failure sequence based on a computer model. Again, they don't release the details of their model, so nobody can study this only failure in the history of skyscrapers due to fire. There, it's a very Rube Goldberg-type situation. I don't really want to go into details, but initially they say that some floor beams thermally expanded and pushed a girder off its seat on a column.
But the other part of the official story is the main narrative that 19 Muslim fanatics under the leadership of Osama bin Laden hijacked planes into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, and that's why we have the war on terror.
That's correct. But we don't go so much into whether or not those hijackers actually did it or not. It doesn't really matter. We know that they didn't cause the controlled demolitions of these buildings. Somebody else did that. Nobody else would have access to the buildings besides somebody who had inside access. So
And that's the thing. If there's controlled demolition, it's bigger than a surprise attack.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So we can even discard the whole argument about whether or not the 19 hijackers were even there or not. We don't want to get into kind of controversial subjects like that. We have enough evidence that's staring us in the face that everybody agrees on both sides. So the official story we know is not true. If Building 7 is the easiest case to see. Over time, they have released structural drawings to the public. They have not released the details of their computer model, but they have released those drawings. And from those drawings, we know that their model does not represent the real building. It doesn't represent it right where they say the initiating failure occurred. And it's so easy to understand. The bottom line is that in their model, they have the failure occurring by a part of a girder, the bottom part, a flange of a girder, pushing through air to fail. In the real world, it would have had to push through 3/4-inch steel to fail. And all sides agree that these flange stiffener plates were in the building, but they're not in the model. So if they want to claim that their model discovered the failure mode, they've got to put that steel in their model. It's pretty fundamental, and nobody would disagree who knew about it.
Dave Fura is a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, one of about 3,000 architects and engineers who have signed on to saying that what is actually the signature? What does that signature mean?
So the Architects and Engineers signature is calling on the U.S. Congress to fund a new investigation, independent this time, which is very similar to the 9/11 Truth Action Project.
Dave Fura is the guest. He's a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth and the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project. So in the midst of all of this, people who have lost a great deal speaking out against the official account. It's not, it's something that people get ridicule with, but people have lost careers in academics in various ways. So I'm asking you, Dave, all that shunning, name-calling, verbal abuse, why do you speak about what you've learned? Wouldn't it be easier just to engage in some form of activism that doesn't result in so much resistance?
Well, I think you're not really giving an accurate portrayal of what I receive from people.
Okay.
So as you know, I like to approach people as a petition gatherer. And that way they don't know that I'm a truther because I don't put any buttons or wear a shirt that says I'm a truther. So I get to talk to a lot of people who maybe wouldn't normally approach a truther. And I ask them to sign the petition very quickly. I want to see, I want to get their reaction right away. So I hit them, bam, with just like, this is a petition drive for a new 9/11 investigation. I explain that the official story is bunk and we need a new investigation. And so you get the quick people who say, you're a nut job. No way. And they walk away. Or, at some point, you have to protect yourself and figure out things that you can say to kind of stay in control a little bit. So I might say something like, yeah, well, no problem. We'll get you when you're ready. And you have to go into it with the expectation that you're going to get that, and you have to know what you have to know that you're going to keep a positive attitude after that. And then you get people who sign right away, mm-hmm. who agree. And then the interesting thing is you get people who get shocked by what you're saying. They had no idea this was your subject, right? And so they're stunned. Literally, they cannot move or talk for a period of a few seconds. And that's when I can get into the explanation about Building 7. I can show them the pictures. And almost every time, those people are interested, actually, and because they've never seen Building 7 before. And they learn about it, the free fall level roof line. Even just the picture is enough to show people that this is a controlled demolition. And then it's like, wait a minute, this was the third tower. How come I didn't see this on my TV? How come my TV didn't teach this to me? And then it gets them on the road to questioning the mainstream media. So I find that there are people who don't agree with us and who maybe even will try to ridicule us, but I find that they are not in the majority. They're maybe 30%, 20%, somewhere.
So, yeah, because your type of activism is going actually into the streets and talking to people. It's not necessarily so much on the internet or whatever from your workplace or anything like that, or writing books. You're going to the street fairs here in Portland.
Yeah, and the parks. You know, I go to the campuses. Man, you go to the campuses, you'll talk about people who know the truth already. The students are ready. They've seen they're on YouTube, right?
Yep.
Netflix, and they've watched Zeitgeist or Loose Change or some of the other videos out there. So they already know in large percentages.
Dave Fuhrer, my guest. He's a member of Architects and Engineers from 9/11 Truth, Oregon, 9/11 Truth Action Project. I'm John Shuck. This is the Beloved Community every second Friday at 9 o'clock. Boris is on the phone. Let's welcome Boris for a quick question.
Yeah, I wanted to address this term conspiracy theorist, which has been so effectively programmed into the public psyche to shut down intelligent conversation. I'm on the road right now, so I don't have access to my notes, but about a year ago, I came across a post that referenced an FBI memorandum from the days of the Kennedy investigation after the assassination. And in this post, it listed this memo, and the term conspiracy theorist was put forth by the FBI with the idea of doing exactly what it has done, and it was presented to media outlets to be used in a very derogatory tone to shut down questioning of the Kennedy assassination. So I think that's very important for people to understand how much of our consciousness is programmed by the power structure. And this term conspiracy theorist, which in and of itself has no negative connotation whatsoever, was developed and was manicured to do exactly what it's done.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, Boris. Appreciate that. And the cure to that, Dave Fuhrer, is going out there one-to-one and actually talking to people.
Yeah. Actually, it was the CIA who had that memo. Then the question becomes, what should we talk about? And we do need to have that discussion about that term, but you can get into an argument about that with people, or you can show them Building 7, and then they will learn that way that what conspiracy theorist is being used for. So the approach, what you're saying is true. It was the CIA, but then of course the question then becomes, what should be the strategy to defeat that use of the term?
And the strategy is getting, from your viewpoint, is getting some signatures for a petition for a new investigation. Tell me about that process.
Yes, yeah, so as we started 9/11 TAP, Truth Action Project, we wanted to figure out, how should we get the new investigation? What's the best way? Right. Are we going to rely on a president to just do it for us? No. What about the courts? What about a judge? Well, the problem is you have a situation where anybody in a position of power is probably not going to help us. because they have too much to lose, right? Even if you could find an honest judge, how do you keep them alive in order to see it all the way through? How do you get them to not switch judges? You know, the whole thing is rigged against us. So our strategy really is to build up the grassroots and to, through just sheer numbers, to start taking congressional districts peacefully, lawfully through elections, so that there are other obstacles. Of course, election fraud is an issue. We have, need to make sure we have honest elections. But I think the only hope for us really is to take the country back by taking back the Congress, and that's one district at a time. And in order for that to happen, we need a grassroots, you know, outpouring and understanding. So it's a big education job. And so the petition that we have is used as a vehicle to educate people, but also it has you sign up the petition and you can get out, there are options there to volunteer. So this is a way that we can grow our volunteer network as well. So it's all about getting everybody unified.
And, you know, it takes a brave person to be out there, and to say, oh, this person's actually saying it, and I would doing okay. It's still standing. And you'll talk about, the title of the show is about how 9/11 truth education is good for your mental health, because you mentioned that to me. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it goes back to one of your previous questions. You said, how do I deal with people who are bad-mouthing me? Well, I don't get people bad-mouthing me very often. Sometimes, so the biggest, positive reinforcement I get is when somebody who doesn't know about Building 7 sits there and listens to me and learns about it with a very open mind. And sometimes it'll be like the burliest looking guy, right? Somebody my age, he would think, oh, this guy is just going to blow me off. And this is a guy that ends up, saying thank you and shaking my hand. And when that happens, man, you just feel really good. And the whole, anytime I really talk to somebody with an open mind, and can teach them, it's like, take that, Dick Cheney. One more person knows all about you.
Dick Cheney. Now, I know you said you don't want to say who did it, but if a new investigation would have a suspects list, who would be on there?
Yeah, I don't want to. So Dick Cheney would be on there. He was the guy that controlled the war games that were happening. But yeah, there are obvious suspects. Anybody in a position that, influenced the outcome. So.
Dave Fura is my guest, Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. He's a member of that organization. He is out on the streets, whether it's a street fair or the park or the college, just one-on-one talking with people about 9/11 and what happened on the day of September 11th, 2001, what happened after. I'm going to take another phone call if he's still with us. Is Barry still there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Barry.
Yes, sir. Hi, thank you. I appreciate this program. The first time I was on, the guy was put off because he was, anti-Semitic or something like that.
Well, we did. We're still working through that. That was Kevin Barrett. Just for the record, I do believe that Kevin Barrett has important things to say, and I do not believe he's anti-Semitic. So, but today we are talking strictly about the 9/11 truth.
Yes. Well, who is going to commit a crime and want it to be uncovered and in the open? So this is, of course, it's done. It's a conspiracy to down the World Trade Center.
Yeah.
So someone is channeled in that way of thinking. Do you know of the book? Have either of you heard of the book "Solving 9/11"? "Solving 9/11" by Christopher Bolin.
Yes, I've heard of that book. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you must read it. I've just read through it and read through it a number of times, and it just makes complete sense. And I'll talk to people about this. And okay, fine. Well, I've got to get going or something like that.
Yeah, right. People put you off then, yeah.
Yes, all the time. It's like people are afraid of what of getting into a crime because they understand that they're going to know what really happened. And these people killed over 2,000 people, and they wouldn't. They'd figure, well, they're going to kill a. There's nothing against killing another person.
Yeah.
Kind of.
And so on it goes. Barry, thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for the call, and thanks for continuing to look for evidence for the truth wherever it may be. And I think one of the questions that we have is, Dave, is that people do seem to be a little silent or afraid about what's going on, and they kind of need some kind of permission. In a sense, you know, all of our authority figures, whether they're through the government or through the media that we're supposed to trust, is not telling us what's right in front of our eyes.
Yeah. So we need to have some leadership here, and it's difficult to muster leadership that people can learn about because of the mainstream media blackout. Another thing that we need to have really is. Not just a message of, hey, this is what, you know, let's just say your government did, right?
Uh-huh.
They did this bad thing to you, and so now deal with it, right? That's kind of the message we get from Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And we at 9/11 Truth Action Project, we want to go beyond that. And yes, we have to educate people, but what's next? And I've been talking to a lot of people, and so, you know, the people will say, like, well, this happened so many years ago, or, hey, we have so many other things to worry about. Why do I want to worry about 9/11? So we need to have an answer for that. And the answer that I use, and I truly believe this, is that 9/11 is actually, our Yorktown, our version of Yorktown. This was letting Building 7 fall in broad daylight the way it did had to have been a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Something must have gone wrong. Because that is a huge, huge blow to the official story and the deep state in general. This, I think, is their main weakness right now. Because anytime anybody sees a video or even the pictures of Building 7 and learn a few details about it, they know it was a controlled demolition. So, number one, we have the obviousness of the lie here. This is like extreme obviousness.
The emperor is obviously not wearing clothes.
Exactly. And then the second part is, and you've already gone into this, is that the consequences of 9/11 are so severe. The whole war on terror has at least been amplified by it. And we can go on and on about the ramifications there.
Yeah.
So those two things, I think, 9/11 has in such extreme measures that no other issue has. I think for those two reasons, it's, to me, it's the best issue to work on.
My name is John Shunk. This is The Beloved Community. The Beloved Community is heard on the second Friday at 9 o'clock. I do want to give a quick public service announcement before I get back with Dave Fuhrer of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, and that is a film series called The Palestinian Festival of Film that is coming up October 5th, 6th, and 7th. I am very pleased about this. The Friends of Sabeel, North America, my friend there, Dick Toll, and Spirit of Grace, the Lutheran and Catholic Church in Beaverton, my friend there, Reverend and Lori Caesar, really are sponsoring this series of films for and about and by, in many cases, Palestinians. The Stones Cry Out on Friday, October 5th, about Palestinians, Christians, and Muslims, the suffering of the displacement that they've had since the Nakba of 1948 till today. The Wanted 18, Palestinians in Beit Sahur start a local dairy farm, hiding a herd of 18 cows from Israeli security forces when the dairy collective is deemed a threat to Israeli national security. The third film is Imprisoning a Generation, a newly released documentary film by Portland filmmaker Zelda Edmonds, exploring the ways Palestinian children are arrested and imprisoned by the Israeli state as an attempt to break the next generation. And then finally, the fourth film is The Occupation of the American Mind. That's Israel's ongoing military occupation of Palestinian territory. Repeated invasions of the Gaza Strip have triggered a fierce backlash against Israeli policies virtually everywhere in the world except the United States. And so this film, The Occupation of the American Mind, takes an eye-opening look at America, zeroing in on pro-Israel public relations efforts. A very bold series of films, Palestinian Festival of Film at the Fifth Avenue Cinema, October 5th, 6th, and 7th. Go to brownpapertickets.com. The topic we're talking about today is 9/11, the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project, the Well, really, the central figure of that is with me in the studio, Dave Fuhrer, who's also a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. Dave, I want to take a phone call, but I want to take one more question. What is it going to take, really, for this investigation to happen? What gives you hope about this happening?
Yes. So, first of all, I would say that it's unlikely to happen, but we have to do something. We have to try. So everybody pretty much agrees today that this country has got serious problems. And whether we call it the deep state or not, there is something that's controlling our government. People can see it even through just corporations controlling our politicians through financial, you know, campaign contributions. So then the question is what to do about it. So this gets back to my belief that 9/11 is the best issue to unify people. It's not a Democrat versus Republican thing. The 9/11 Truth Movement is a very diverse collection of people. You cannot talk about anything else besides 9/11 because you'll get into heated arguments. So that just goes to show you that this is what we need. What we need right now is we need to have an area, a city, a region to show the leadership. And I think that the Northwest in general, and specifically Portland and Oregon, Southwest Washington, we have as much right to be that leader as anybody. We have a very high level already of awareness. So what we need right now are people to join up. So I would suggest everybody who's interested in this topic at all, go to the 911tap.org website, sign the petition there. And if you want to help, check the box where it says join or start local action group. And you'll be put in contact with me that way. And then we can get you hooked up. We have brochures we can pass out. We have a lot of things that we're planning on doing in the next few months. So we just need to get people out of awareness mode into action mode. It's not going to happen otherwise.
Give me that website again. And people can sign the petition online too, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, online, 911tap.org.
Let's take a couple of phone calls if we can. Let's get Harriet. Is Harriet there?
Hi. I want to thank you for this program. Barry, the earlier caller, was really pushing this other book, Solving 9/11, which was very disturbing, but also very illuminating. I had been aware of all the controversy and the reality that this is, you know, that the truth was suppressed and this was an inside job. And the problem with the Solving 9/11 book was that he directed his research in a very anti-Semitic way. And he may have some really good, the author, he may have some really pertinent evidence that needs to be corroborated one way or the other. And if he does, what it points to is that there is an international terrorist ideology. So anybody can join who's got something to win out of war. And whether it's the left-wing extremist Israelis or the military-industrial complex here in the States, but that this potentially is not just something that was instigated by this country alone, but it may be an international, a global kind of an organization. And I was wondering if you had any thoughts on that, or if now is not the time to share those kinds of thoughts, because people get so disturbed about the possibility, you know, that, oh, my people may have had something to do with this, that, you know, they're not willing to look at the full truth.
Well, you know, that's one of the challenges. Harriet, thank you for that call. It's a big challenge of once we start talking about what all went on to go a lot of different directions. And one of the reasons that I have Dave as a guest here today is that his focus is very specific, and that is not doing a lot of speculation regarding who did it, but showing how the official story can't possibly be true and how we need a new investigation.
That's right. So our objective is a new investigation that will answer all these questions. As soon as you go into who did it, you automatically begin to alienate a part of the public, right? If we said George Bush did it, oh, you just don't like Republicans. You're just a Hillary supporter. You know, and if you talk about Israel, which, and I don't really want to get too far into Christopher Bolin, and I don't agree with everything he's written, and there's been some challenges to some of his evidence. And so but we don't talk about attribution of blame at all. But I do believe that what he is all about is anti-Israel. I mean, he's not really, as far as I could tell, he's not anti-Semitic. But I could be wrong, but I haven't read anything to say
anti-Jew. I think you'd say that Mossad was had a role in this.
Yeah,
as
he's
much as
mostly about the Israeli government. Mm-hmm. And most likely there were other governments that participated, and we don't know who exactly. But there is, you know, money was I understand, wired from the Pakistani intelligence services. So you could go into different countries and probably find participation at least. But we don't know. Our objective really is to find out, and we're not going to find out by, you know, citizen investigators, you know, trying to put the dots together ourselves. We need to have more information from the inside.
Dave, tell me again, he's a member of Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, also the Oregon 9/11 Truth Action Project. Tell me about the website.
Yeah, so please go to 911tap.org. That's the 9/11 Truth Action Project website. Sign the petition there. Select the box for local action teams, and then we'll get together. It's time for people who, the good people, to get back together and fight to take our country back. We're not going to get an investigation worth paying for unless we all get together and take action.
Dave, thanks for your work. And this is the Beloved Community every second Friday at 9 o'clock on KBOO. You can listen worldwide at KBOO.FM. My website is progressivespirit.net, progressivespirit.net.
The aftermath of nonviolence is the creation of the Beloved Community. The aftermath of nonviolence is redemption. The aftermath of nonviolence is reconciliation. The aftermath of violence, however, is bitterness. This is the thing I'm concerned about. Let us fight passionately and unrelentingly for the goals of justice and freedom. Let's be sure that our hands are clean in the struggle. Let us never fight with falsehood and violence and hate and malice, but always fight with love, so that when the day comes that the walls of segregation have completely crumbled in Montgomery, that we will be able to live with people as our brothers and sisters.